Aloha pākai, Apau. My name is Ryan Kanaka'ole. I'm the chair of the BLNR. This is July 24th, 2026. It is a meeting of the Board of Land and Natural Resources, and it is now 9:04 a.m. Before we start our agenda, I'm going to go through a few public meeting protocols. We're holding this meeting as a hybrid meeting. Some of us are in person in the Kalanimoku Building Boardroom in Honolulu, and we're also holding this meeting remotely through Zoom. In addition, it can be watched live on YouTube. For those testifying on Zoom, we will move you from the waiting room into the meeting when the board hears the item you signed up to testify on. Please remember to mute YouTube when you enter the Zoom meeting, or we will get an echo. When you enter the Zoom room, please keep the camera off and microphone muted until you are called on for your testimony. The chat box is not to be used for any comments. However, the board secretary may message you through the chat box to ask which item you wish to testify on, so you can be led into the meeting at the appropriate time. Presentations by staff and comments by applicants are limited to 5 minutes each. We ask members of the public testifying on agenda items to limit their testimony to no more than 2 minutes. Testifiers will not be allowed to relinquish their time to others. I apologize in advance if I ask you to summarize. I ask that if you submitted your testimony through email, that you stand by your testimony as the board members have reviewed the testimony submitted. Please address your comments to the board and not to the testifiers or those presenting. Board member Ono is our timer today. She will keep track of the time and give you a 30-second warning. At 2 minutes, I will ask you to stop testifying. I will then move on to the next testifier. Before starting your testimony, please clearly state your name and identify yourself for the record. We may take breaks as needed. In some of the matters before the board, person may wish to request a contested case hearing. If such a request is made before the board's decision, then the board will consider the request first before considering the merits of the item before it. A person who wants a contested case may also wait until the board decides the issue, then request a contested case after the decision or before the close of the board meeting. It's up to you. Any request must also be made in writing within 10 calendar days. If no request for a contested case is made, the board will make a decision and the department will treat the decision as final and proceed accordingly. Regarding executive sessions, the board may go into executive session with its attorney pursuant to Section 92-5A4 HRS in order to consult on the questions and issues pertaining to the board's powers, duties, privileges, immunities, and liabilities. Now I'm going to introduce our board members or let them introduce themselves, starting from the far left.
Aloha, good morning, James Maui Nui.
Aloha, good morning, Calvin Young at large.
Aloha, Ryan Konakoli, Chair.
Good morning, Karen Ono Kauai.
And online.
Aloha, Riley Smith, Hawaii Island board member.
Aloha, Kaivi at large.
And for those on Zoom, can you please confirm for the record that you are alone?
I am
Yes, I am.
alone. Sorry,
Okay,
Riley.
both confirmed. Thank you. Also present is Board Secretary Tasha Kakuta and Deputy Attorney General Alyssa Kong. I'm going to be taking some of the agenda items out of order today, so I'm going to read through the agenda order as I have right here. But if there is a need to move up any agenda items, and if we're able to have the appropriate division staff available, I'm going to try to accommodate. So first up, minutes A1, then we'll move on to Land Division items D1 and D2. Then we'll move to DOCARE, that's item B1. Then OCCL K1, and then Engineering L1. Let's move on to our first agenda item. Item A1, approval of the July 10th, 2026 meeting minutes. All members received it. Any questions or comments from the board on this item? Online? None. Public testimony. Anybody wishing in the room to testify on the minutes? No one online as well. Closing public testimony. Calling for a motion.
Motion to approve as circulated.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion by the board? Hearing none, seeing none. All, wait, roll call vote. Yeah, thank you.
Aye.
Aye.
Chair Kanaka-Ole.
Aye.
Member Ono.
Aye.
Online, Member Smith.
Aye.
Online, Member Yoon.
Aye.
Okay. Motion passes unanimously. Moving on to agenda item D1, land division.
Planning Board members, Laura Yusaka, acting assistant administrator for the land division. D1 is basically delegation of authority to the chairperson to select and appoint a hearings officer. This is regarding a contested case that we were basically remanded by the Hawaii Supreme Court to hold. This has to do with revocable permits that were held by KIUC from 2003 to 2022. It was for the use of the Blue Hole diversion to power their upper and lower Waiahi hydropower plants. I do note that Land Division, the last time we saw anything regarding the Blue Hole diversion was in the form of an environmental, a draft environmental assessment, maybe around the between 2019-2023-ish kind of time frame, and it never proceeded after that. It kind of just died then. Basically, though, the Supreme Court found that the petitioners had harm to TCPs. And so therefore, even though the permits expired and were not renewed in 2023, they still want the board to go back, hold the contested hearing, and then act on any potential violations that would have existed at the time in which those permits were issued. Because in 2019, I guess there was damage done to the siphon and they never repaired it. And it kind of just stayed in that state. Other than that, so the contested case is narrowly framed to address their claims that the conditions were violated and that the disrepair and the degradation of improvements kind of equated to water waste as well. And therefore their property interests or their TCPs were violated.
Thank you. Any questions for staff on this matter?
Yeah, I have a question. Lauren, for the record, can you just quickly cover where the Commission on Water Resource Management was on this?
I actually don't know on this one. We may not have had anything, so we maybe have been operating under the IIFS as status quo, I would assume. I don't have an actual amended.
Okay, but the siphon was never discussed at SeaWorm?
I don't have anything. It may have been, but this predates me in taking over water issues, so I'm not 100% sure. This kind of just showed up on the desk one day.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Yes. I don't want to take public testimony though, yeah? Okay. Public testimony in the room on item D1? None. Online? Not online. So council has reminded me that there is a written contested case request that was submitted by a member of the public on this matter. Is there an inclination to go into executive session to briefly discuss with our council the petition itself?
Yeah, motion to go into executive session.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor say aye or raise your hand.
Aye.
We're gonna go into executive session briefly and then we'll reconvene. Thank you. Remember you?
Joining
Enjoy. Okay. There we go. When you're ready, Tasha. Okay. Everybody, back on the record. It is now 9:48 a.m. The board has returned from executive session where we discussed the contested case request before us, but submitted by Ms. Cummings, as well as discussed the holding of the Supreme Court case that ordered the matter into contested case. Not this Ms. Cummings contested case request, but another one. Before I request a motion to deny Ms. Cummings' request for contested case hearing, I'm going to go over the basis. So the board has received Ms. Cummings' request for a contested case hearing. Before addressing that request, I'd like to briefly summarize the matter before the board. Today's agenda item does not concern the merits of KIUC's use of water under revocable permit S-7340. Rather, it concerns the implementation of the Hawaii Supreme Court's decision in Kia'iwai o Waiʻaleʻale versus Board of Land and Natural Resources. In that decision, the court remanded the matter to the board and directed a contested case hearing be held concerning the prior continuations of revocable permit. The sole action before the board today is whether to authorize the chairperson to appoint a hearings officer and issue preliminary procedural orders necessary to commence the court-ordered contested case hearing. The board retains final decision-making authority following the hearing. With that background, the board will now address Ms. Cummings' request for a contested case hearing. Under Hawaii law, a contested case hearing is appropriate when, one, the board's action will determine a legally protected property or liberty interest of the requester, two, resolution of disputed adjudicative facts is necessary to the board's decision, and three, due process requires an evidentiary hearing before the board acts. The board concludes that those requirements are not met here. First, today's agenda item does not determine any protected property or liberty interest of Ms. Cummings. Rather, the sole action before the board is whether to authorize the chairperson to appoint a hearings officer and issue preliminary procedural orders to implement the Hawaii Supreme Court's remand directing that a contested case hearing be held. Second, today's action does not require the board to resolve disputed adjudicative facts. Although Ms. Cummings' submission raises numerous factual and legal assertions, none of those assertions are material to the procedural question before the board. Third, due process does not require a separate contested case hearing before the board acts on this agenda item. Today's action is procedural only. Does not finally adjudicate any person's legal rights or obligations, nor does it authorize or deny any substantive use of state resources. Instead, it establishes the mechanism through which the contested case hearing, already ordered by the Hawaii Supreme Court, will proceed. Accordingly, because today's agenda item does not determine a protected property or liberty interest, does not require the resolution of disputed adjudicative facts, and does not independently trigger due process protections, the request for a contested case hearing will be denied, or a motion will be before this board for denial. Ms. Cummings, I know she's not online, but she will have an opportunity to intervene in this contested case if she so chooses after a hearings officer is selected and the contested case kicks off. With that being said, I will ask for a motion to deny the contested case request. So
Motion to deny the request by Rosalind Cummings.
second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion by board? Hearing none, calling for a vote. All in favor say aye or raise your hand.
It's not unanimous.
Not unanimous. So, do we do a roll call?
No. Sorry, Chair. Howley.
Okay, so one no. Motion passes with one no. Remember you. Okay, so that's a case request before us. Now on to the matter on the agenda before us, item D1. Yes. LD has already did their presentation. No questions to LD. Do we have any other questions for staff on this? None. We already closed public testimony on this, right? Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so no further public testimony. Calling for a motion.
Wait, can I just ask one question from you?
Yes.
So this is the opportunity at this time when Ms. Rosalyn King can actually bring her
To
comments
intervene.
in. Yes, to intervene during the contested case
When the
process.
contested case, so right now before us is just asking, giving me
Hearing
the
officer,
authority to select and appoint a hearing officer. The hearing officer will then do, their procedural orders, which will kick off the contested case, at which time there's a opportunity for parties to intervene. And at that time, Ms. Cummings would be able to submit, if she wants to, a petition to intervene in the case.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure that she has the opportunity to do it if she wants
Yeah,
to.
and then at that point in time, really, it was not a time and place right now for her, the facts and legal assertions that she was providing. That will happen during the contested case if she chooses to bring them up.
So with that, I approve the recommendation as submitted by staff to appoint a, to have the chair appoint a hearing officer.
Have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion by the board? Hearing none, calling for the vote. All in favor say aye or raise your hand. Motion approved unanimously. Thank you. Moving on to item D2.
Members of the board. Item D2 is for the issuance of right of entry permit to Point One Vision on unencumbered state lands by Castle Beach, Kailua, Ko'olau, Poco, Oahu. It's an annual event held here on Oahu. They're requesting to use a 50 by 50 foot area for changing tents, flags, to hold equipment and pop-up tents for check-in. As athletes come off the water and then go on to their next events. So historically, there hasn't been any overcrowding issues on these beaches because people, these athletes, come in different times and then go on to their next event. That's all I have.
Any questions for Land Division?
Just for the record, only for the record, I know the answer, but no alcohol, correct?
Correct. No.
Okay, thank you.
I am here as representative for Oahu Pentathlon, and I apologize, my camera for some reason isn't working, but if there's further questions, I am here.
Can you state your name for the record, please?
Sarah Mayo,
Thank you.
race director.
Any other questions, either for Land Division or applicant?
Maybe for the applicant. Sarah, how long have you been putting this event on? Because I
This
know
is the fifth public year.
I was going to say, I know we've approved it a couple times before.
Correct. Yeah.
Thank you. Any other questions? Hearing none, I'll open it up to public testimony. Anyone in the room? None. Online? None. Okay. Closing public testimony and moving forward with the vote. Calling for a motion.
I move to accept staff recommendation.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion by the board?
Can I bring up a question?
Yes, Ms. Mayo.
So I don't know if this falls under necessarily this same request, but an additional part of our request is going around Kaena Point with State Park specifically. I realize that with the damages from the Kona Lows, that permits are not currently moving through. We do, however, we'd love to be able to help out the community, obviously having a benefit for ourselves as well, ideally being able to do our normal route. We do have a contingency plan in place to essentially do this as an out and back. However, we have volunteers with extensive background in, trail management, things like that, including firefighters, National Guard, police, military construction, who would be willing, if there were approval, to help circumvent the curtain washout trail on the west side of Kayena Point. A, is this the right time to ask that question? And then B, if so, would this be the right place to make a request for us to bring in a team to do that?
So at the board level, no. However, at the administrative level, you can make the request. I can connect you with our State Parks Administrator, Alan Carpenter.
Okay.
Can you
We
provide your.
have been, sorry, go
Oh,
ahead.
good.
I have been in contact with him, so I guess we'll just kind of keep trying to talk about that with him then.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Calling for the vote. So it's been moved and seconded, right? Okay. All in favor, say aye or raise your hand. Motion passes. Thank you. Moving on to item, don't care. Item V1.
Good morning, Chair and board members. I'm Jason Redula. I'm the Division Administrator and Chief of the Division of Conservation and Resources Enforcement. Item B1 is a request to the board to delegate its authority to the Enforcement Chief of DOCARE to negotiate, approve, execute, amend, extend, renew, and terminate memoranda of understanding with county police departments and the State Department of Law Enforcement for the temporary housing of detainees. Just to give you some background, as you know, DOCARE officers statewide have full police powers. Amongst these police powers is the power to arrest individuals who violate the law. When we arrest individuals, we have to transport them to a holding facility to be booked and to be held if they cannot make bail. In these instances, DOCARE does not have its own facility. So we depend on the county police departments and our state partner, the state sheriffs at the Department of Law Enforcement, to assist us with the housing of a detainee who cannot make bail, pending their disposition with the court. When we hold a detainee at a county facility, for example, that holding agency, the county police department, is responsible for the health and welfare of our detainee while they're in custody. And so, with that, our detainee is consuming things that the department has to pay for, things like food, water, linen, utilities like the electricity that's being used, those kinds of things. And so, because of these conditions, we do know that at least with one county police department, the Kauai Police Department, they do want us to formalize an agreement with them in order to address not just legal matters pertaining to custody, but also for reimbursement of these costs. We also anticipate that other county agencies, as well as our state partner, will likely want to enter into an agreement as well to formalize an agreement with us. And so, what we're asking in this submittal is for the ability for the chief to negotiate and enter into these agreements on behalf of the department to ensure that we have these in place in the event our partner agencies want to have a formal agreement. And so, based on this information, DOCARE would kindly request that the board give us this authority. And so, we recommend that you do pass this. Thank you very much. Happy to take your questions.
Mahalo, Chief Redula, any questions for DOCARE?
Ready.
I do. Chair, after everybody, Paul, because I can't see you guys.
Member Smith first.
Thank you, Chair. I had some communications with Chief Redula prior to the meeting, and he answered my questions, but I wanted to enter the statements in the record just to clarify our discussion. So what I was concerned about was what's being asked is collaboration and cooperation with other county agencies and state law enforcement. What I wanted to clarify and make sure is that this does not give the authority or the ability of DOCARE to work with the Department of Homeland Security and also ICE, Immigration and I forget what I stand for. Anyway, Jason, you want to just confirm that this is just allowing cooperation with other state of Hawaii, county of Hawaii agencies?
Yes, thank you, Board Member Smith, for your question and your comments. What Board Member Smith is referring to is that within the HRS Section 199, it does give us authority to enter into cooperative agreements with state, county, and federal agencies. With respect to the Department of Homeland Security and specifically Immigration and Customs Enforcement, first, our relation with them is very infrequent and very rare. We do not participate in immigration enforcement, nor are we a member of any immigration enforcement task forces. Additionally, with respect to the matter of this submittal, we do not hold any of our arrestees at ICE or Department of Homeland Security facilities. And so, if the board would like to restrict, the cooperation with Immigration and Customs Enforcement, I don't see that as being a problem, given the very rare and infrequent nature of our contact with them.
Thank you, Jason. And Ryan, because the item just refers specifically to county and state law enforcement, I don't think we need to amend any motion. I'm comfortable the way it's written.
Thank you. Yeah, I agree as well. We don't need to amend because it's content PD and DLE only. Any questions in the room? Otherwise, I'll turn it over to Member Yoon. Member Yoon, go ahead.
Mahalo, Chair. Jason, thank you for all that you do. Can you let us know how many trainees per month or years on the average DoCare goes through?
It's a very rare circumstance when we have to arrest a violator. Typically, with the more frequent and common violations that we deal with, they end up with criminal penalties that are petty misdemeanors or misdemeanors. And as a result, under the law, we can issue citations to those violators. It's only under very rare circumstances or in circumstances where the criminal penalty is a felony where we may have to arrest an individual, or in circumstances where an individual that we contact may have an outstanding arrest warrant, where by order of the court, we are required to arrest that individual. So I would say, to answer your question, Board Member Yoon, we may have one or less than five a month, if that. Statewide, it's normally not a large number annually. And in fact, in recent memory, I think the last time we may have taken a large number of people into custody was during the TMT protests from 2019. But outside of that, our annual number is very low. I would say statewide, less than 10 a year, probably.
Thank you, Jason. And I'm all for it. I mean, whatever gives you guys the flexibility to coordinate with our other law enforcement is, I think, is a good thing, regardless of the number of inferences. Back to the federal question. So nowadays, because they're getting crazier, people throw in rocket, our precious resources. Oh, I don't want to get specifics of it. Those are federal level crimes. Right. So, but what you're saying is, regardless of that, the person in the instance you would detain them would be held at any county or state holding cell, correct?
That's correct. If when it comes to DoCare, when we arrest a violator, they're going to be held either at a county facility or at the State Department of Law Enforcement's facility. They would not normally be held at a federal facility like the Federal Detention Center, just because of the delineation between state and federal. It's different processes, different laws that were violated, and thus different holding facilities.
Okay. Mahalo, Jason. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Any other questions from the board? Hearing none, opening up to public testimony. Anyone in the room? None online? None online. Closing public testimony and calling for a motion.
Motion to approve it circulated.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion by the board? Not online. None in the room. Hearing none, I will call for a vote. All in favor say aye or raise your hand. Motion passes unanimously. Apologies.
Thank you very much.
Moving on to item Kayla.
Good morning, Chair, board members. Michael Cade, Office of Conservation and Coastal Lands. Item K1 is we're asking the board make decisions regarding three items. Two of them are petitions for a contested case regarding board decisions from November 14th, 2025, regarding a set of single family residences and associated landscaping in Puna in the county of Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
The second element is a motion for reconsideration or rescission of the board's decision on the two conservation district use applications. And before I dive into our recommendations, I would like to address written comments we received from the petitioners requesting that the board consider the motion for reconsideration first before acting on the contested case petitions. OCCL's recommendation is the opposite. We're asking the board make a decision on the contested case first. The motion raises a number of disputed factual issues, both in a mistake I made in questioning, which I admit to, but also they dispute certain facts within the written report, which our office stands by. If the board decides that the applicants are entitled to a contested case, these disputed facts can be adjudicated in the contested case hearing process. We'll be able to develop a complete evidentiary record for the board to evaluate in their decision making. So our strong recommendation is that the board authorize a contested case and that the issues raised in the motion be considered in the contested case process. In regards to their contested case request, the petitions were received in a timely manner. A petitioner needs to show a property interest in the permit. They are the landowners, so there's an obvious property interest. And the petition laid out initial reasons or issues that should be adjudicated in a contested case. The case won't be limited to those, but it establishes enough reason for the board to grant a contested case. So based on that, we're recommending that the board grant the contested case requests, that they find that both petitioners are entitled to a contested case, obviously, that the board delegate to the hearing officer the chairperson the authority to select the hearing officer, and that the board combine the two petitions, so applications from a father and son, into one contested case hearing rather than doing two separate contested case hearings. And that tied in with that, deny the motion for reconsideration, as those questions will be raised in the contested case. And I just one note of caution. I see K1, Paul Pastoric is one of the applicants. Ms. Garson is counsel for the applicant. Yes. I forgot the word. There was written testimony from that didn't relate to this case at all. It related to fissions. So I'd be cautious if there's other K1s we don't recognize online, given recent incidents.
Okay.
But I recognize these two. So
thank you
for that.
Okay. Any questions for OCCL?
Ryan, I have one.
Right.
On the first page of the enclosure for the packet, there was a comment about information to be provided that was not included in the packet. I had some communication with Michael Kane. He had a response. I just want him to enter that into the record.
Thank you. So the full petitions and motions were extremely large, and we had trouble with ADA compliance. And the only links we were able to get lasted for 10 days. So we weren't able to include it in the title and comply with sunshine laws because the links would expire within a week or two. So in discussion with counsel, they were going to provide written testimony with a link to the files. And I believe that was contained within their written testimony. And that contains the full petitions, well, the full exhibits for the petitions.
Thank you.
Really, is that?
Thanks, Michael.
Thank you.
Any questions for Michael, or otherwise I'll turn it over to petitioner. No?
Sorry, Chair, I have
Petitioner.
one more question for
Go
Paul.
ahead,
Sorry, I
ma'am.
was on. Michael, just to be clear, after the hearings officer is concluded, it still comes back to the correct.
That is correct. The hearing officer will make a recommended findings of facts, decision, and order and conclusion of law. The other parties are allowed to do will file a reply and will schedule oral arguments in front of the board on the recommendations.
Okay, thank you, Michael.
Thank you. Go ahead, Hansel.
Mahalo, Chair, and members of the board. Onaona Thone, on behalf of the applicants, Mr. Paul Pastorek and Opunaha LLC. Ryan Pastorek is here with me today, along with our land planning consultant, John Pippin. And on Zoom, we have Paul Pastorek and my law partner, Kathy Garson. We do have a presentation for you folks, but before we get into that, I do want to address staff's recommendation to take the contested case petitions before the motion. We were back last before you folks November 14th of 2025. We filed the motion for reconsideration within the 5-day period. Following that, we did file our written petitions for a contested case. The reason that we're requesting that the motion be heard first is because if you reconsider your prior decision, there is no need for the contested case proceedings. With respect to what happened at that November 14th meeting, really the only point that the board had and the reason expressed for denying the petition or denying the applications was the size of the neighboring properties. And that was based on some misinformation that was provided by staff. So we really hope that you will take up the motion first. I don't know if procedurally you need a vote on that before we proceed with our presentation, but that's our recommendation and our request.
Do we have a vote?
You don't need to take a vote, but
No.
I mean, you don't need to take a vote in terms of the order in which you take these, but there is a contested case application that is live, so you would need to address that. My recommendation is to address that. And I will say that if the motion's granted, the applicants will withdraw the petitions.
This is procedural and legal questions. Does anybody want to enter? I'm willing to entertain a motion to enter into
Motion to
exec
go
session.
into executive session.
Member Onos moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor, say aye to enter into executive session pursuant to HRS Chapter 92-584 to consult with an attorney. Okay. Thank you. Hello, everyone. We are back on the record. It is now 10:40 a.m. We just returned from executive session where we discussed legal matters related to this case with our counsel. I think that there is a question before us now regarding taking the agenda item out of order. Is there any member of the board who wants to make that request? Seeing none, hearing none, we're going to move on to the petitioners
For the motion.
for contested case hearing. All right,
For,
we're going to go
okay.
in order.
You are going to go in order. Okay, well, again, we really don't think that's the way to procedurally do this. You folks do under procedural rules 13.1. Let's see what it is. 13.1-11. You can take, matters out of order, and you have actually today, earlier. Notwithstanding that, staff's recommendation is that we are entitled to our contested case proceeding. As stated earlier, the petitioners are the landowners in question. They have been harmed by a board decision, the denial of the CDUAs back in November. So our position is we certainly are entitled to the contested cases. We'd like you to grant that, but if you can defer decision making on that, and we would agree to that deferment until you hear our arguments and our motion for reconsideration, which is also pending before this board. We do have a short presentation. It's about, 10 slides and 11 minutes just to go over those slides. The reason we want to go through the motion is, since November, there have been two new board members added, and one of the board members here today was not present for our presentation on the application. So really urging the board to, if you are going to make a decision on the contested cases, we'd be fine if you go ahead and grant it or defer that decision making at least until we can proceed with our discussion on the motion. And again, as stated earlier, if the motion is granted today, we will withdraw the request for contested cases.
We can take all the presentations at once. Michael, did you have anything to add in terms of going down through the order of operations that are presented in the submittal? Or do you already made your record in terms of all three matters?
I feel like I've made a complete statement.
Okay,
Thank you.
go ahead.
Okay, so you folks, that was our presentation on the contested cases. I mean, a lot of this is really on the motion. So if we can proceed with that.
Go ahead.
Okay, great. So I want to thank the board secretary for working with us. We are going to have this presentation and printed copies for you folks in case you want to follow along as well.
Yes.
All right. So as I mentioned, this is, not going to be too long. It will be a little bit over the 5 minutes that you folks asked us to limit ourselves to. But, we did submit written testimony, which you folks have before us. And that our written testimony that we submitted back in November really detailed the satisfaction of the applications of, the conservation district use criteria. But because, as I mentioned earlier, the board's decision back in November was really based on the size of the proposed residences and then, the misunderstanding of the sizes of the surrounding neighborhood, we wanted to focus our presentation today on the basis for our motion for reconsideration, which is that incorrect information that led to the denial. So on the next slide, orienting you folks to the property. Again, these properties are located in the Mapu'u area of Puna on the island of Hawaii. It's that gray pinpoint kind of on the coastline between HPP, which is a subdivision to the north. That's about 8,800 lots. And Hawaiian Beaches are to the south, which is about 1,300 lots. I want to direct your folks' attention to the image on the left-hand side of the page, which shows you parcel 26 in blue and parcel 27 in yellow. Part of the reason that we're asking for a consolidation and re-subdivision, as you'll see, is that parcel 27 is heavily vegetated. Part of the project will involve, redoing some of that vegetation with native plantings over time. But we did want to keep that buffer between the house that's on the neighboring parcel to the right of parcel 27 and parcel 27. Okay, next slide. So the properties are in the resource subzone, which does allow single-family residences with a permit. Under the conservation district rules, the maximum developable area for properties that are larger than 1 acre, which both of these are, is 5,000 square feet. The applications that were denied back in November include one application for a single-family residence on parcel 26 and a separate application for a single-family residence on parcel 27. And again, I talked about why we want the consolidation and re-subdivision. It's really just to shift the lot line between parcel 26 and parcel 27. So the chart you have up here shows you the sizes of the properties pre and post consolidation and re-subdivision. Okay, and on the next slide, this is, you know, a little bit what we're proposing on parcel 26. So it's a single family residence. The residence itself is under roof, you know, 4,010 square feet with a total MDA of about 4,700. Includes a residence and a storage and animal shelter. Next slide. All right, for parcel 27, we're looking at an MDA of about 4,900, but the actual residence under roof is only 2,750 square feet. So this one does include the residence, a storage structure, and a pool. All right, so next slide. All right, so, you know, again, some of you were here for that November 2025 meeting. What happened was applicants did have to defend against a negative recommendation on the applications. Copies of the application were not included in the board packet. The challenge was compounded by significant due process considerations. The CDUAs were agendized on a packed agenda just 4 days before the auto approval deadline, which really gave the applicants no time for a continued hearing or a second hearing if the board had questions or wanted additional information. And, for, you know, as it turned out, the board actually did have a lot of questions on the applications. Applicants had initially been told they would be agendized in October, but, you know, that would have given them two meetings, right, to come back and give you folks, you know, information that you wanted, but that didn't happen. So at that meeting, we did address the issues that were raised in the staff report through our written testimony and our presentation, but really the discussion before the board that day focused on one issue. And again, it was the size of the proposed residences here as compared to the neighboring properties. So during that meeting, we had board members asking questions about that. OCCO had characterized what we're proposing here as luxury development, and then proposed, you know, gave the board incorrect information on the size of the neighboring homes, representing that the homes in the area were generally in the 2,600 to 3,800 square foot range. But those numbers were wrong. Those were actually the permit numbers rather than the square footage of the residences. And based on that misrepresentation, right, that the proposed single family residences that the applicants were proposing would be great, you know, more than 1,000 square feet bigger than the neighboring properties, the permits would be denied. Oh, next slide. All right, so why are we here, right? We have a motion for reconsideration before you folks. And, you know, under the HAR, the board can reconsider a prior decision it made on the merits if the movement can show that new information not previously available would affect the result or that a substantial injustice would occur. And as stated in our written testimony and in our motion, our position is that the correct information about the surrounding properties provided in the motion is new information to the board. Because the board's denial of the proposed residences, which actually does comply with the criteria in the conservation district rules, was based on that misinformation from staff, a substantial injustice has occurred when the board denied it, and it will continue to occur if the motion is denied. Next slide. All right, so turning to that new information, there are two corrections we want to make to OCCL's presentation back in November. The first is the number of residences in the area that were approved. At the November meeting, OCCL had mentioned that there were 5 approved CDUPs in the area, but there are actually 10 in the stretch of Moku'u between HPP and Hawaiian Beaches. Second, and which we'll talk about with this slide in the next couple of slides, is the actual square footage of the surrounding properties. So here you see parcels 26 and 27 outlined in blue with the maximum developable area that we talked about for those projects. To the left of parcel 26, you note that there are two parcels that have an MDA greater than 4,000 square feet. And to the right of parcel 27 is another parcel that has an MDA greater than 4,000 square feet. Next slide. All right, on this slide, again, this is, you know, further down the road toward the Hawaiian Beaches site. We'll note that parcel 55's MDA is a little over 4,900 square feet. Parcel 35 is about 4,400 square feet. And parcel 40 was actually approved for the maximum of 5,000 square feet. And then we did want to make one correction to our motion. I think in our motion we said parcel 40 was only at 4,096 square feet. But upon further investigation, it actually included, approval of a 900 square foot pool. So again, and the actual approval for that permit was again the maximum of 5,000 square feet. All right, so next slide. This slide is really just a chart summarizing the information on the last two slides. As you can see, 2/3 of the homes in the area have a max developable area greater than 4,000 square feet, with two of the 10 approved for an MDA that's greater than 4,900 square feet. So really the majority of the homes in this area are of the same character and nature proposed by the applicants. Next slide. And this is my last one, so I'll wrap it up. All right. Based on this evidence, the board's decisions to deny the applications was subjective, arbitrary and capricious, and abuse of discretion and made upon erroneous information. So as stated in our written testimony in November, the applications satisfy all of the criteria set forth in the conservation district rules, and they comply with the design criteria. So HAR 13541A governs single family residences in the conservation district. And it states that single family residences approved by the board shall comply with the design standards in exhibit 4, which again is where we get that 5,000 square foot maximum developable area. Except as may be allowed by the board upon the finding that the prevailing conditions warrant the deviation from specific standards, and upon a finding that the deviation is consistent with the criteria and conditions set forth in this chapter. So exhibit 4 provides that we can go up to a max of 5,000, and it does allow for one exception to kind of reduce that. Site characteristics and the degree of pre-existing site disturbance may be a further limiting factor in the calculation of maximum developable area when so determined by the board. So the board can only reduce the permissible MDA if it makes an explicit determination that that reduction is warranted based on site characteristics and the degree of pre-existing site disturbance. The board did not make that determination back in November when they denied the applications. Instead, again, the board really denied the application based on certain members' feelings that the houses seemed too big, and that was based on the incorrect information provided to the board about the size of the neighboring properties. So from a due process standpoint, right, Hawaii case law recognizes that both the U.S. and Hawaii Constitution mandates that all persons similarly situated will be treated alike, both in privileges conferred and liabilities imposed. So equal protection violations are recognized when someone is intentionally treated differently from others similarly situated. And that's what happened here back in November when the applications were denied. So for these reasons, we do ask that the board grant our motion and grant, issue the permits to the applicants. And we've stated that if the permits are issued, applicants understand that they'll be subject to the standard conditions in the rules. And there were also some special conditions proposed by OCCL back at that meeting. And I think Michael and I had talked about some, adjustments to those as well, and the applicants are willing to abide by those conditions. And again, if the motion is granted, the applicants will withdraw the petition. So we thank you folks very much for your time. And we're available for questions.
Thank you. Questions for applicants? Any questions from the board?
I have questions, Chair.
Go ahead, everyone.
For Onana. Okay. Thank you for the presentation. Is it fair to say that, what I heard in the 10 slides was the staff information as presented at the November meeting was incorrect and I guess that could be characterized as why the CDA was denied. Is that kind of what I heard?
That's correct.
Okay. What I didn't hear in the presentation or any discussion is any information or commitment as to the intent of conservation district, why it was promulgated, why we hold it to 5,000. Is that on anyone's radar?
That's a question that I've had for the board. And I think you were at the board meeting a couple of weeks ago where we testified on the approval of the rules to go out to rulemaking, right? Because as you folks know, OCCL got approval to go forward with rulemaking, adjusting the rules. And this is part of our concern. Again, these petitions have been pending for 8 months now. Prior to that, the applicants were working on this for 5 years, but one of the provisions that's being changed in those rules is decreasing the MDA from 5,000 square feet to 3,500 square feet. So this is in our testimony. Again, we didn't put everything in this presentation. I know your folks' time is precious, but there is a concern that part of the delay here is, you know, an intent for our applicant, our clients to have to comply with those new rules, and those rules haven't yet been approved, right? So there is some concern on that. But putting that aside, I don't know what the rationale is and what the legislative history is on why 5,000 was chosen. It seems like an arbitrary number, especially since it's applicable to properties that are greater than 1 acre just generally. If you look at the design standards for lots that are less than 14,000 square feet, there is a percentage, a proportionality requirement. We don't have that here for parcels that are 1 acre greater. They're all treated the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand square footages and construction pretty well. My question is more trying to tease out, because part of the literature in the summary was I see the words agriculture, landscaping, removal of invasive species, plant, right? So where's any of that? So aside from the 5,000, 3,000, and we can have that discussion, the rest of the INA, what is the plan for that?
Mm-hmm. I'll let Ryan and John Pippen go ahead and answer that for you.
Okay.
I can start. I'll introduce myself first. John Pippen, planning consultant, assisting with this project for the last several years now. Thank you for your question. The intent of the project is to bring stewardship to these properties that hasn't had stewardship actively in a long time. Residences on each of the properties will allow a presence to help with illegal dumping that has been subject on Government Beach Road for a number of years. It's situated between two rapidly growing populations, subdivisions, and a presence on the property will help with illegal dumping and trespass. Invasive species have taken root on the property, and part of the plans for landscaping and reforestation include taking care of those invasives over time and replacing them with natives. The landscaping on each property amounts to about 10,000 square feet each, and the vast majority of that is native landscaping that will be appropriate to these sites. No invasive species are proposed. All are pono plants. And that reforestation plan is really part and parcel of the consolidation re-subdivision, preserving that forested aspect of what currently exists on parcel 27. But instead of invasives, we'll gradually over the next 3 to 4 years plant it out in native species like hau, milo, ko, ule, pohinahina, et cetera.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, thank you. Well, now, is this the primary residence of the applicant? Will this be the primary residence?
It will.
Okay. Because I'm sorry, I forgot your name. We just spoke. You just said the word presence a lot. So presence, is that presence meaning the applicant is actually staying in the single family dwelling unit, correct?
Correct, yes.
And the applicant, he and his team is going to do within 3 to 4 years, removal of invasive species and replanting of native species, correct?
Correct, yes.
Okay. My last question, which I found odd, and I'm not for or against, I'm just trying to understand the issues. Part of the plan that was, what I heard the word pool, is that correct? You guys are going to have a pool in this area?
Yeah. Hi, Member Yun. Ryan Pastrek, I'm one of the applicants. Yes, the pool is intended for my parents who have arthritis and would use it for exercise. But also because the cliff sides are very dangerous right there, it doesn't make sense to be able to try and swim anywhere near there. So that would be mm-hmm. would also help with fire issues in the area to have water there.
Okay. And then the other 10 neighboring properties, do they have pools?
There are a few, yes.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, thank you for saying that. I appreciate your time. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Any other questions from members?
Is there shoreline access?
No shoreline access. It's cliffside.
And there's actually a SMA condition prohibiting shoreline access in that area.
Thank you.
Any other questions from members? Hearing none, because this is a contested petition for contested case hearing, I will defer to the petitioner on whether you want to have testimony before you on this matter from all the members of the public.
I have to defer to AJ. I don't know if you typically, but we're not opposed to having testimony.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there any testimony on this matter in the room? Online? None. Okay. Hearing none, closing public testimony. I'm calling counsel. Do we take these actions one, two, three, or is it one?
One, two, and you take them one, two, three.
Serially.
Yes.
Okay. So on the first matter, in the petition for contested case hearing, calling for a motion.
Thank Chair Riley Smith, Hawaii Island Board member. I move that we approve the petition for a contested case hearing.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion by board?
Ryan, Chair, can I make some comments?
Go ahead.
Okay, so one of the reasons why I am supporting approving the petition for a contested case hearing, and it'll be clear when we get to the next motion about reconsideration, is that a motion for reconsideration is decided upon the existing record and does not provide a mechanism for resolving disputed adjudicative facts. By contrast, a contested case hearing permits the parties to present testimony, introduce documentary evidence, examine and cross-examine witnesses, and develop a complete evidentiary record upon which BNNR may make findings of fact and conclusions of law. Likewise, OCCL will have the opportunity to correct and clarify its prior presentation, including the inaccuracies identified in the motion for reconsideration, ensuring that BLNR's ultimate decision is based on a complete and accurate evidentiary record. That's all.
Thank you. Any further discussion by board? Hearing none, the motion on the floor is regarding the petition for a contested case hearing and to approve. All in favor say aye or raise your hand. Motion granted. Moving on to the second item, calling for a motion regarding delegation of authority for chairperson to select and appoint a hearings officer to conduct a contested case hearing.
Chair, I move that we approve item two as recommended by staff.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion by board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye or raise your hand. Motion granted. Final motion regarding the reconsideration or rescission. I'll call for one.
I move that we approve the recommendation by staff to deny the motion for reconsideration.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion by board? Hearing none. All in favor say aye or raise your hand. Motion passes. Thank you.
If I may just ask the board, in terms of scheduling the contested case, to keep in mind getting this scheduled timely. Again, these applications have been worked on for, more than 5 years, and these requests themselves were pending for 8 months, which is far too long.
Thank you.
Thank you, folks, for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you. Final agenda item, L1, engineering. Thank you, Michael.
Thanks.
Okay, we have the divisions ready.
Yeah.
Engineering is in the lead in the presentation. Take us away, Dina.
All right. Aloha, Chair Kanaka'ole and board members. I'm Dina Lau, and this is Gayson Ching, and we're from the engineering division. L1 has a long title, so I'd like to briefly explain what we are requesting and why these actions are important for the department. We're requesting approval to delegate authority to the chairperson for three actions. First, it's to procure, award, and enter into professional service contracts. This includes services provided by architects, engineers, surveyors, planners, and other specialized disciplines such as auditing, computer science, legal, archaeology, and more. The second action is to determine when projects are exempt from preparing an environmental assessment or EA, or to approve an EA and issue a finding of no significant impact, also known as a FONSI. And finally, the third action is to procure, award, and enter contracts for goods, services, and construction. These delegations would apply to both CIP and operating funded projects, which represent the majority of the department's legislative appropriations. This is a routine request that the department brings to the board at the beginning of each fiscal year after the budget has been signed into law. This year, known as Act 175, was signed on June 26. We bring the request to the board because the department processes hundreds of contracts every year, and without this delegation, every contract executed by the chairperson would require separate board approval. That would significantly slow project delivery and increase the risk of delays and lapsing funds. This delegation allows the department to implement projects more efficiently while continuing to comply with all applicable laws and board policies. We'd like to mention that the implementation of all projects will comply with the governor's budget execution policies. All projects will also comply with the State Procurement Code, HRS 103D, which establishes requirements for the procurement process. These requirements help ensure that contracts are awarded through a fair and competitive process and limit the ability of the chairperson or the board to change the outcome of the procurement. Another applicable law is the Hawaii Environmental Policy Act, HEPA, more commonly known as HRS Chapter 343, and this also applies to all projects. We are requesting that the board delegate authority to the chairperson to approve projects that are determined to be exempt from environmental review or that receive a FONSI following an EA. However, projects that require an environmental impact statement, or EIS, will be continued to be brought to the board for review and action. In addition, the chairperson may bring any project to the board whenever it is appropriate to do so. I'd like to direct you to Exhibit 1, an attachment to our submittal. Exhibit 1 lists appropriations that have not lapsed, as well as the new appropriations from this current budget, FY27. The second column, executive budget requests caught on projects marked with an X, are included in the governor's budget request and subsequently approved by the legislature. These projects have been carefully developed over time and are the department's priorities. The remaining projects without X's are added by the legislature during the budget process and are often referred to as legislative add-ons. Although they were not part of the department's original, or may have not been part of the department's original budget request, they are consistent with the department's mission and hold merit. In closing, we respectfully recommend approval as submitted. Joining me today are staff from the engineering division, along with administrators and other representatives from the other DLNR divisions who are able to answer your questions. Mahalo.
Dina. Any questions for either engineering or the divisions who have these projects?
Yeah, Chair, I do.
Go ahead.
Thank you for the presentation. As far as recommendations 1 and 3, I think that's knowing how fast or slow, whichever word you want to use, how procurement happens and execution, project execution happens, I'm supportive. As far as number two, though, can you, for the record, just distinguish succinctly the difference between EA and EIS and the trigger? Because you presented that projects for EA would be the discretion or proposing discretion of chair, and that EIS matters come to the board, correct?
Correct.
Yes, correct.
Correct. So in your mind, what is the difference between EA and EIS for the record?
This is the Chapter 343 process. Sometimes the EA gets elevated to a EIS, or the department determines if they want to go straight into an EIS, which is an environmental impact statement based on the capacity of the project and environmental impacts.
Right. Okay. So I went through the worksheets, and there are about 26 projects, say less than 30. But let's say the first page 1 of 10, cesspool closures, demolition of Banyan Drive properties, two of them, right? Those in my mind, without even knowing the projects, will probably be heightened to an EIS, right? Do you agree?
Land Division's here.
Hi, good evening.
Hi.
Okay, look, cesspool closures are per property. They're individual. They are considered large capacity cesspools. We're under EPA mandate to close them. They're not necessarily an EIS worthy type of project. Okay, so just for the record, right? Environmental assessments are your lower level of environmental compliance in terms of the outcome is normally a finding of no significant impact. That's what you're kind of hoping it's going to be based on what you know about the site. An environmental impact statement, you can get there two ways. You can go through the EA process, in which you're not coming out with the funds. You've decided that there's more impacts that need to be explored, and then you can go in straight into, then you go into the EIS. There are other times where the department has already the foresight and the knowledge in which we believe an EIS is already necessary. Therefore, we can skip the EA step and go straight into an EIS. So just to clarify that for you. The cesspools itself is actually a beneficial impact to the environment because we're closing down existing cesspools and we're switching them to either an individual wastewater system, or we will be doing connections to existing wastewater systems run by the county. So that's actually an improvement in the environment and would not necessarily trigger unless there was trenching in an area that we would consider sensitive. They all have to go through SHPD approval. You know, if they were like coastal forest reserve or anything like that too, right? So each individual site would be covered individually. We would either exempt it. I mean, you've seen a couple of them come to you in the Kanoʻinoʻu industrial area where the sites are already developed and we wouldn't necessarily need any environmental documentation but an exemption at that point.
Yeah, thank you, Lauren. And I do understand the difference between EA, EIS. It's just one of the hinge points for EIS is the community public input component. And I wanted that on the record because I get a lot of emails or comments about our ability to increase that amount or to be more meaningful about that, and all of those things. So I just want to, on the record, that this board is well aware of the difference between the two, and that we're cognizant about what we're deferring and why, right? And aside from environmental issues that you covered, thank you very much. The other side of that process is the living culture or the Hawaiian part, right? Which is a as a living culture, I am concerned that those that mana'o or those comments cannot be brought or are the probability of them being brought up or the viability of them being brought up in an EA process is almost next to nil, right? But cultural issues previously missed or now known, I think, are relevant. And I think the Native Hawaiian community has or should be given that right to comment on these projects. And I just want to make sure, and I have full faith and trust in Ryan. But one of the reasons why the rules were set up the way that they were was so that the board can hear and opine on these very complex issues. So I'm not saying which way the vote should go on recommendation number two. It's just I just need a little bit more clarity procedurally how that will work. And then I want to make sure that this board, and look, I'll be stepping off the board anyway, so this comment is really for future board, that the board have this ability to engage our community in a meaningful way. Thank you, Chair, for your indulgence.
Any further comments in response to that?
Just for number two, so we're asking to delegate responsibility or authority to the chair for exemptions, which are exempted under 343, so they're minimal impact, if any, and then for the EA Bonzi also. But if there is anything that's controversial or it's at the chairperson's discretion to bring it to the board. It doesn't have to be in a EIS framework.
And for the record, even with regard to exemptions, can someone walk through the process of providing notice to the public on that if there's a declaration of exemption?
It's gonna depend,
Okay.
right? Each division has different ways of doing their exemptions because at one point we had come before the board as individual divisions requesting whether or not they could be delegated to the chair to do the exemption. So it's division specific, unfortunately. Public comments on exemptions are not really
That goes
as
through environmental review.
it's
So.
so It's usually, and I should say that it's not the greatest, it's kind of after the fact in some senses, right? Because you do the exemptions at the certain point in every month, we provide an Excel sheet over to ERP, who then publishes that in the environmental notice, which is the public, like the public way that people know what's been exempted. So yeah, there's no really like public comment on the exemptions itself.
Thank you.
That's correct.
Thank you. Anything else? Any other questions for staff? We have them all here. Oh. So they're online and in person. Nothing from the board? Okay. I'm gonna open up for a public testimony. Any other staff want to testify? It's, no. How about online? Okay, closing public testimony. Calling for a motion.
I move to accept staff's recommendation.
Okay.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion from the board? Hearing none, calling for the vote. Oh, wait.
Wait, can
Kaidi,
you
you're on mute. You're on mute.
Sorry. Thank you. If that recommendation was a global approval for one, two, and three, is that what I'm hearing, or are we going to go one by one?
think it's for the global approval.
Global
Okay.
approval.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, we can go. Boy, first of all. All in favor, say aye or raise your hand. Not in favor?
No, Pauli.
I would do roll call.
Roll call. Okay, let's do a roll call vote.
Member Carfield?
Aye.
Member Young?
Aye.
Chair Kanaka-Ole?
Aye.
Member Ono?
Aye.
Online member Smith?
Aye.
Online member Yoon?
Pauli.
Thank you. Motion passes 5-1. Wow. There being no further business on the board, I'm going to be adjourning this meeting at 11:20.
Aloha.
Hello, we will.
Mahalo.
Hello.